All of us want to be new people. We want transformation. We want change in our lives. But we struggle. We struggle. And I think part of our struggle is that we begin with our own effort. We begin with our own discipline. How strong can we be? How dedicated we can be? I think that's why many of our resolutions fade away by February. But Paul has a different word. Paul says, no, becoming a new person doesn't start with you. It begins with God. Not with your work, but with God's work. And Colossians 3 is a great text for the first Sunday after Christmas, because we've just celebrated God's greatest work for us, taking on flesh, taking on our humanity in Jesus Christ. This is God's great work for us. God has come to us not just to save our individual souls, not just to make us happier, healthier, wealthier people, but to truly make us new, to create a new humanity, a new community. And this comes as a gift to us. It's not something we can do. Our reading begins with these words. You are God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved. Paul doesn't write, because you are good people, God chose you. Paul doesn't say, because you pray so much, you're holy. Or because of all the wonderful things you've done, I'll love you. No, Paul says, we already are loved. We already are holy in Jesus Christ, not because of what we've done or what we might do, but simply because God is loving and holy, and God has chosen us by grace. So becoming new people always begins with grace. If you read on in verse 15, Paul says, let the peace that Christ gives rule in your hearts. Let the peace. So allow the peace to rule in your hearts. Let the message about Christ live among you like a rich treasure. So Paul is telling the Colossians, just get out of the way. Let God work in you. Let God move in the community. Let the Spirit of Christ bring peace. Let the Spirit of Christ teach you who Jesus really is. So becoming new people doesn't start with us. It starts with God, with God's grace. But before grace makes us new, grace tears us down. Before grace covers us, it uncovers us. So Paul uses the image of taking off clothes and putting on clothes. Did you see that in Colossians 3? Put on these new clothes. So the Christians in Colossae that Paul's writing to, they have taken off their old, raggedy, dirty clothes. They've taken off their old life before Jesus, and they've been washed in the blood of Christ. They've been baptized, and in baptism, they've put on Christ. They've put on Christ's righteousness. So Paul says in his letter to the Galatians that you have been clothed with Christ. So everyone, we are already clothed. But Paul says, you still need to put on Christ. You still need to put on these new clothes. God does it, but we also say yes to God's yes. So Paul is encouraging these believers to put on the right clothes. They need to dress like Jesus. So our son Asher, who's 3.5, he's not wearing the right clothes these days. It's winter, but all he wants to wear are short sleeves. He just wants to wear short sleeves and t-shirts. And we say, Asher, it's cold outside. You need to wear a sweater, something to keep you warm. But he says, no, I want to wear short sleeves. We need to wear the right clothes. And Jesus Christ, he wore the right clothes because he listened to his Father in heaven. Unlike Asher, he's not listening to his Father. He wants to put on his short sleeve shirt. Jesus knew what it meant to put on new clothes. Jesus dresses in the righteousness of God. And that's what we're called to do, so that when the world looks at us, they see Jesus clearly. They see Jesus. That's why Paul says, do everything you say or do in the name of Jesus Christ. But how? How do we put on those new clothes? How do we put on those new clothes? Timothy Wilson is a psychologist at the University of Virginia. And he studies human behavior. He studies the choices we make each day. Why do we do this or do that? And his research found this. Francisco, could you go to the next slide? His research found that 95% of the decisions we make each day are unconscious. That means we don't really think about them. We just do them. We just do them. So when you got up this morning, did you have to stop and think, should I put on pants today? No, you just put on pants, right? It was a habit. You do it every morning. Did you look at your toothbrush and think, should I brush my teeth today? No, you just brushed your teeth, I hope, because it's a habit. It's what you do every day. When you drove to church and you came to Burton Street, did you have to think, should I go left or right? Which way should I turn? You didn't even think about it. You just turned because you know where you're going. You've done it over and over again. It's a habit. It's an unconscious decision. It's just a part of you. And friends, that's our calling as Christians, to make putting on the clothes of Christ a habit, something we don't even have to think about because it's so much a part of who we are and what we do. It's not something we just do in the morning. It's something we do every hour of every day, every minute. We put on these new clothes of Christ. So we become kind people by practicing kindness. We saw that kindness was one of the clothes we should put on. Love and mercy and kindness and patience and gentleness. These clothes, we put them on by practicing them. So we choose to be kind to someone, even if they're annoying, even if it's hard. And we choose kindness. And the next time it gets a little easier, we choose kindness again, and we choose to be kind again and again. And eventually we find that we don't have to think about it because being kind to others has become a part of us. That's what it means to live a new life in Christ. And why do we choose to be kind again and again? Where did we start? With grace. Because God has been kind to us. We remember we can be kind to others because God has been kind to us. The same is true for all those other clothes, for mercy, for gentleness, for peace, forgiveness. Paul talks about singing psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. That's one way on Sundays we learn to dress like Jesus. We learn through the songs what it means to praise God, to receive grace, to put on the clothes of Jesus. But when we learn a new song, we might not sing it very, very beautifully at first. We're kind of learning We're learning the words, we're learning the tune. But we sing it again next Sunday, and okay, we remember. And we sing it again another Sunday. Oh, I remember these words, I know this tune. And eventually that music, it moves from our head down into our heart. We don't even have to think about the words because we know them. And when we hear the music, we might sway and clap a little bit because the music has moved into us. It's become a part of us. That's what Paul wants for the Christians in Colossae. He wants the rhythm, the music of God's love. He wants Jesus just to become a part of them. It's who they are. They don't even have to think about it. It's so, so much a part of them. So many of the New Year's resolutions people make will fail because they're relying on themselves. It's up to their strength, their effort, how dedicated and disciplined they are. But many of us fail in our resolutions because we're trying alone. We're trying alone. We're not doing it as part of a community. So some of us here are newer to the English language. And if you're learning English, you know it can be a silly language. It doesn't always make sense. One of the silly things is that we don't have a plural form of you. Right? When someone says you, they could be talking to Buddy as an individual, or they could be saying you, you all, you, this group. Okay, you're not sure. I grew up in the southern United States, and we have a word, a second person plural, a you, you and all, y'all, as in, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? When we read the New Testament, and you see the word you in Paul's letters, think y'all. Paul is almost always speaking to a group of people. He's not just speaking to you as an individual. He's talking to a community, a people that are together in Christ. He's talking to a body, the body of Christ. Did you notice what Paul says? It's all about relationships. Put up with one another. Forgive one another as parts of one body. Let the message of Christ live among you all, live among y'all. Teach and correct one another. So this new life that Jesus brings comes to us as a community, not just to us as individuals, but us as a body. We learn how to be new people together with one another. I've been reading this book called Life Together. It's by a German pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Bonhoeffer, he's speaking to Christians about the gift and the challenge of being a community of faith, what it means to be the church, right? Because it's a gift to be God's people, but it's also hard work. And Bonhoeffer, he says, We can idealize the church. We can make an idol. We might think, oh, it has to be perfect. But we know the church isn't perfect because I'm a member, right? Don't laugh. You're a member too. That's why it's not perfect too. Right? Right? The church is a group of imperfect people that God calls together to grow in holiness and love, to be more like Jesus. So being the church isn't about becoming perfect in this life. Yes, we grow in Christ, but the church is about growing in God's perfect love. It's about God's perfect love, God's perfect holiness. It's this perfect love that covers us. It covers everything. That's what Paul says, a love that holds everything together perfectly. That's the heart of Paul's message, this love that lays down its life for another as Jesus did. This love that that changes us from one degree of glory to the next. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we're changed from one degree of glory to the next. So together as a community, we become new people. We become new people. It's God's love, friends. It's God's love. If you think about it, isn't it God's love that drew you here in the first place? Isn't it God's love that keeps you coming back each Sunday? Even when you don't feel like it, you remember, oh, God has loved me by grace. That's what draws us together. That's what changes us together, this love that we see so clearly in Jesus. So as we think about the new year, 2019, remember that it's God's love among us. It's God's love that gives us hope. It's God's love that changes us to become a new people, a new humanity. And it's that will make the world notice that God has come and God is coming back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.